welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levenier, bringing you an hour of continuing series. Later on, episode 2 of 3 of Robert Louis Stevenson's Kidnapped, but first it's Adventures by Morse with the second episode of a 3-part story called The Girl on Shipwreck Island, a syndicated episode heard on July 7th, 1946.
Adventures by Morse. Carlton E. Morse presents The Girl on Shipwreck Island, featuring Captain Friday.
If you like high adventure, come with me. If you like the stealth of intrigue, come with me. If you like blood and thunder, come with me.
6 months ago, when the ocean-going yacht Carlotta went ashore on a 2x4 South Sea island during a typhoon, only 4 persons got to the beach alive. They included the captain of the craft, 2 able seamen, Cockney and Manuel, and an English lady's maid named Gracie.
My mistress had her neck broken when the mast of the ship came down in the storm, and my master was washed overboard trying to save her body from the storm. It was a bloody mess, and how I came through it alive, I'll never know. But there I was, ashore on a desert island, along with 3 sailors, none of whom I'd ever spoke a word to in my life before. That is, except the captain, to whom I'd said yes, sir, and no, sir. But the captain didn't last long. The second night ashore, Cockney and Manuel set on him and cut him to ribbons in a knife fight. That was enough for me. I took a gun and some cartridges and my poor parrot Belshazzar and set up housekeeping on the far end of the island in a bit of a cave.
And for 6 months, Gracie protected herself against Cockney and Manuel, living off the berries and fruit and small bird and animal life of the island. And then Captain Friday and Skip Turner, earlier this afternoon, came fluttering down out of the sky in a French army plane whose engines had conked out.
Yeah, we were en route from French Indochina to Australia, flying over the Dutch East Indies and a lot of the China Sea. Well out over the South China Sea, something in the mechanical department went haywire, and we had to make an emergency landing. Fortunately, we were in the vicinity of a minute atoll with a sandy beach. We landed without doing the ship any damage. Before beginning our repair job, we surveyed the tiny island, and that's when we discovered the setup here. Tell them about it, Skip.
Yeah. Well, when we arrived, there was 3 people on the island besides ourselves. Cockney, Manuel the pirate, and the babe Gracie. Belshazzar the parrot. But before we'd been here an hour, we saw Manuel the pirate stalk Cockney to the edge of the swimming hole and shoot him in the back. It was because Cockney was trying to get friendly with Gracie behind the pirate's back. So now there's only Manuel and Gracie on the island. That is, except for Captain Friday and me.
And both Gracie and Manuel the pirate are very skittish specimens of the human species. With the exception of the moment when they saw Manuel kill Cockney, they have not laid eyes on the swarthy pirate-looking figure with the turban about his head. They haven't seen Gracie at all. They've talked to her, but she's kept hidden back in the jungle. She's a girl all alone in this little isolated world, and she doesn't trust anything masculine. And now at 7 o'clock in the afternoon, Captain Friday and Skip are up to their ears in piston rings, spark plugs, and engine oil as they attempt to adjust their motors for the remainder of the trip to Australia.
Boy! Talk about rebuilding a motor the hard way.
Yeah. Phew. That sun smacking me on the back of the neck like a baseball bat.
Okay. I guess you can screw that head down again.
Yeah. You think we found the trouble?
Well, we found one of the troubles. How a gas line on an airplane can get stopped up, I don't know. There. Screwed down hard?
Yeah. Won't get any oil leak there.
Well, I'd say we were all set to take off, then.
Okay. How about trying the motors?
I'd like to, but I don't want to take the chance.
Well, hey, we can't take off without tuning the motors.
We'll have to tune them at the last minute.
I don't get it.
You heard what Gracie said.
Oh, you mean about the pirate being a desperate character?
Look, why did he and Cockney kill the captain?
Fight over Gracie.
Then why did he kill Cockney?
Over Gracie.
Okay. You think for 1 minute he's going to let you and me fly off with Gracie if he can help it?
You mean we're taking Gracie with us?
We're not leaving her here for that ape.
Oh, I get it, and the pirate knows it. So the minute he thinks we got this airplane fixed to fly again, the real slaughter begins.
Right. Not only does he want to keep Gracie, but he doesn't want us to get back to civilization and report him. Remember, he's a two-time killer, and he's stuck here until the authorities come and get him.
So what are we going to do?
Well, when it gets dark, we're going back in the jungles where we met Gracie before. We're going to talk fast and get her to come down to the plane with us. Once we get her inside, we'll turn over the motors, adjust them if they need it, and get the heck out of here before Manuel the pirate knows what's going on.
Does Gracie know she's going on an airplane ride?
Not yet.
Well, she's awful skittish. I don't think she'll come.
She's got to come. We have to hogtie her.
Yeah, well, remember, she's got a gun, and she's been fighting off Cockney and the pirate for 6 months.
We'll have to sneak up on her if she won't trust us. I don't intend to stay here forever, and I don't intend to leave her behind.
Kidnap her for her own good, huh?
She'll see reason when we explain what we're up to.
Well, maybe. What time is it now?
Well, after 7. As dark as the inside of your hatband in another 3/4 of an hour.
So what do we do until dark?
Well, first climb up and close the cabin door and lock it.
Yeah.
You got everything you want out of the cabin?
Yeah.
Okay, here she goes in. And that's that. Hey, you think we can take off on this beach in the dark?
How can I miss? It's got a half-mile straight beach. Wind's been blowing in the right direction all afternoon.
Still, it's going to be awful dark.
Well, maybe there'll be moon and stars.
Well, that'll be your worry, Chief. I'll just shut my eyes and hope you don't run into the China Sea.
Come on.
Where are we going?
Got to get back up on the plateau before dark. Find the path in the jungle where we talked with Gracie.
And supposing a pirate's hiding along the path and lets us have both barrels?
We've got to be too smart for him.
Yeah, that's what Cockney said. Look at him. Flybait.
Okay, okay. You get killed, I'll see you get buried, won't I?
You know, Chief, sometimes you're an awful comfort to me. And then sometimes you give me goose pimples up and down my spine.
Well, it's dark enough to suit anybody's taste now.
Yeah, the sun skittered out of the sky like it had stepped on a banana peel.
This seems to be the path. Come on.
Hey, you think we'll ever be able to find our way back to the plane?
Well, no, it's downhill in that direction.
Yeah, plenty of places to break your neck in between.
Quit worrying.
Hey, you know something that's funny to me?
What's that?
Why we haven't had trouble with the pirates so far?
He's probably laying low, watching to see what we intend to do. After all, we're 2 to his 1, you know.
Yeah, but he could have stood up here on the plateau and popped us off while we was working on a plane down on the beach this afternoon.
Couldn't have been sure of hitting us at the distance. All he'd done was put us on the warpath.
Out! Hey! Skip! Skip, where are you?
Hey, Captain Friday. I'm in the bottom of the well.
Are you hurt?
Well, I'm scared.
And wait till I turn a flashlight down on you. There.
Hello.
Hey, what kind of a doggone setup is this, anyway?
You've fallen into a trap.
I'll say I have. A man trap. I got a couple of skin shins that somebody's going to pay for, too.
Apparently, this hole was covered up with grass and leaves and used to trap animals in. Maybe for food.
Hey, you mean animals are fool enough to fall down in a hole and break their silly necks?
Well, you fell in, didn't you?
Okay. You going to stand there talking, or you going to reach down a hand and haul me out of here?
Sure. I'll get down on my knees and reach down. Now then, reach up as far as you can.
Yeah.
Just reach your hand.
Yeah.
Okay. Up you come. There.
Now, who do you suppose set that trap? And why didn't you fall into it? You was ahead of me.
Look, trap's right on the edge of the path. I was walking right down the middle. Apparently, you got too close to the edge.
Some of the pirates work. What do you bet?
Maybe. Well, come on. Next time, keep in the path.
Yeah. Pardon me if I limp.
Sure, go ahead. Limp. But keep close behind.
We get ourselves in the doggondest messes.
Hey, listen.
You're home.
Belshazzar.
Doggone talking parrot.
Gracie said the parrot always warned her when anyone came near. So we must be getting close.
Here, Gracie.
Makes Gracie sound like a lost puppy dog.
Hey, listen.
I never heard that version before.
Skip, for the love of Mike, shut up.
Huh? What's the matter?
Somebody's in the jungle alongside the path, just ahead of us.
You sure?
Either a person or an animal.
I'll just easy my gun around where it's handy.
Don't do any shooting without knowing what you're shooting at.
Yeah.
Let
Walk us, old bird. I don't hear anything up ahead.
Something's there, lying in waiting.
Why don't you say something to it?
I have the pirate open up at this range with his rifle.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
Listen, Skip.
Yeah.
Get down and lie flat. Keep your gun handy.
You gonna try something?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
I'm on my stomach right beside you. I'm gonna try to open a conversation. If anyone fires now, it'll probably be over our head.
Okay, shoot.
Hello up there. I know you're up there, so there's no use pretending you're not.
Then it's you, Captain Friday.
Oh. Oh, Gracie. I thought it was the pirate.
Who?
Manuel, the pirate.
And I thought you were Manuel.
You seen anything of him?
Yes, he's on the prowl. I've had a bad time keeping out of his way all afternoon.
You know where he is now?
No. Now that night has set in, I've lost him. Is the other one with you, too?
Hey, you talking about me?
Keep your voice down, Skip.
Oh, yeah. Sure, Gracie, I'm here.
I had a talk with Manuel once this afternoon.
What kind of talk?
He don't like you people being on the island. He says he went to the trouble of killing the captain of the yacht, and then this afternoon he killed Cockney.
Hey, he come right out and admitted it?
He did. He said just when he thought he had me all to himself, up pops you two.
Yeah.
And so now he has to kill you two.
Why didn't he try it this afternoon while we were working on the plane?
Because I didn't let him.
How did you stop him?
I kept close to him. I kept making him think he just about had me cornered. I kept his mind away from you two.
You must be a pretty tricky babe in the jungle to play hide-and-seek like that.
I can take care of myself.
Hey, look, Gracie, how would you like to get out of this?
Meaning what?
We got the plane so it'll run again. We can take off any time we like.
So what?
We want you to come with us.
Oh, no, you don't.
But look, Gracie.
No, sir. Gracie, don't put herself in the hands of a couple of strangers like that. Not Gracie.
But all we want to do is to get you off this island and away from Manuel. Fly her to Australia so you can get back home.
How do I know that?
You'll have to take us on faith.
Ha! When I ever take a man on faith again, there'll be two moons in the sky. And I mean blue moons made of cheese.
Hey, keep talking to her, Captain.
Skip, come back here.
What did you say?
I said you're acting like a little fool. We want to help you. Skip, you crazy fool, come back. You want to get off this island, don't you?
When a ship comes along and gets me, yes.
Well, this is off the beaten lanes of ocean traffic, you know. It might be years before...
Oh, no!
I got her, boss!
To me, you
I got her. But she's fighting like a tiger. If you don't give me a hand...
Here I am. Gracie, stop it. Stop it, you hear?
You're the worst of the lot.
We're not going to hurt you.
Throwing a girl down in the dock and sitting on her. Hey, what are you doing?
Tying your hands behind you.
You can't do that.
Hang on to her, Skip.
She's as strong as a box full of tiger cats.
There.
Shall I let her up?
No. Keep sitting on her until I tie her feet.
If you trusted us and come out in the open, we wouldn't have had to do this.
I suppose you wouldn't show a young lady no mercy.
Okay. Hey, feet are tied. Expect the worst, do you, Gracie?
I know no reason to expect anything better.
Hey, Chief, turn your flash on her. Let's see what we got, huh?
Don't want too much light around here. Liable to attack the pirate.
I hope he does come too and butchers the both of you.
Now, what's the matter? Why don't you turn on a flash?
I dropped it. Oh, here it is.
Okay, click it on.
There.
Hey. Well, how do you do? If it isn't Miss Dorothy L'Amour herself.
Just because I'm reduced to wearing a sarong out here on the island, ain't no reason for calling me Dorothy L'Amour.
What's wrong with Dorothy L'Amour, for God's sake?
Well, I ain't her, is all I'm saying.
You're a very good-looking young woman, Gracie.
And supposing I am, it's only a danger and hindrance to me out here away from civilization. Don't put clothes on my back, no food in my mouth.
You say you're reduced to wearing a sarong. Where are the clothes you were wearing when you came ashore?
I was asleep in my nightgown. When the ship struck, all I had in my mind was to get on deck. Once up there, I was washed overboard. When I woke up, I was lying on the beach, and the birds were singing, and it was as nice a day as a body could hope for.
So you made your nightgown into a sarong, huh?
What else could a lady do?
Well, you did yourself proud, if you ask me.
That also explains why you have no shoes or stockings.
Well, that was the worst part of all, learning to walk barefoot.
Hey, why'd you turn off the flashlight?
You've seen enough. Besides, we're getting Gracie down the plane and getting out of here.
You ain't fooling the poor girl. Is that why you sit on me like a pack of wolves and tied me up just to rescue me?
Sure. You've got to learn to trust folks, Gracie.
I come of age the hard way. All my life a girl's had to watch out for herself. It was there against the world, and always it's been a man's world.
Well, for once in your life, you've got somebody on your side.
Now, maybe I have it that.
Skip, you want to scout the trail ahead while I carry Gracie?
I do not. I want to carry Gracie while you scout the trail ahead.
We've got some pretty rugged terrain to cross getting down to the beach.
Well, with Dorothy L'Amour in my arms, I'll just float down.
But why shouldn't a girl walk on her own 2 feet?
Will you come willingly?
What's a girl got to lose? Now that I'm beginning to trust
no,
you.
No, I don't go for that, Captain Friday. I think I ought to carry Gracie.
Cut it out, Skip. Now look, Gracie, if I untie your feet, will you come along with us without any trouble?
I will, and gladly.
It's a deal. Untie your feet, Skip.
In moving pictures, the hero always gets a chance to carry the heroine.
Skip.
Okay, I'm untying, ain't I?
Well, hurry up and don't talk so much.
Is his name Skip?
Uh-huh. Skip Turner.
And who are you, please?
Bart Friday.
Captain Bart Friday.
Okay, Captain Bart Friday, then.
Okay, Gracie, your feet are untied.
But my hands.
Your hands stay tied.
What if we trust each other?
When we get on the plane, we'll untie your hands. For the present, they stay tied behind you. Here, get up on your feet.
Oh, there.
Hey, Captain, even with just the moonlight, she looks like something out of a South Sea moon picture. Hair down her back, just the right amount of sarong.
All right, Romeo, let's go. You bring up the rear. Gracie, you walk between us. I'll keep an eye open ahead.
Now that the moon has come up, be careful.
Huh? Careful of what?
Have you forgotten Manuel is stalking this island?
Hey, that's right. The pirate does want our scalps at that.
All right, here we go. Don't fall behind, Skip.
I'm right on Grace's heels. Honest to goodness, don't the sharp stones and briars and stuff hurt your bare feet?
Oh, not at all. I don't know whether I'm ever going to be able to put shoes on again.
Yeah, and I bet you're going to miss the old swimming hole down in the ravine, too.
Oh, you saw me down there?
Yeah, that was our first peek at you. Of course, we were so far off, about all we could tell was that you was a white girl.
Yes, I will miss the swimming. As a matter of fact, I've got to like my island quite a bit.
Except for Manuel, the pirate.
Well, after all, it was nice knowing there was a man on the island.
I thought you'd been fighting him off for 6 months.
And so I have. And I would have shot him down like a dog if he'd bothered me. But still and all, it was comforting, knowing that there was a man about.
You're a queer one, Gracie.
Well, after all, when you're living in the wilderness, you just about forget everything you learned in civilization. Nothing seems to apply, if you know it, Army.
I think I do. Okay, now, we're coming out of the jungle. Path gets pretty rugged. You're going to have to keep low so as not to show up against the skyline. Skip, you're not going to have to help. You're going to help Gracie with her hands tied behind her. Skip, are you paying attention? Hey, Skip!
That's queer.
Didn't you know he wasn't right behind you?
But I thought he was.
Well, he's not.
That's queer.
It's not queer at all. He was bringing up the rear, and like as not, the pirate slipped up behind him and knocked him over the head.
See, si. That is right, Capitan.
What's that?
It's Manuel.
See, si. I did sleep up behind the unwary skip Turner and tap him on the skull. It was so simple.
If you've killed Skip Turner...
Oh, no. That I have not done. Yet.
What do you mean, yet?
But just what he sound like. This friend of yours is not dead because I need him as a hostage.
Hostage?
See, you have in your possession something which belongs to me. I, therefore, have in my possession something which belongs to you.
I don't get it.
Perhaps the senor do not wish to get it.
What have I that belongs to you?
This so beautiful senorita.
Gracie?
See, but of course. For 6 months I have been on this shipwreck island with Gracie. During this time, I have killed 2 men because of her. If that does not give a man first rights to a woman, then please tell me what does.
I'm a free girl, and I belong to no man.
But naturally, that is what a senorita is supposed to say.
I know you killed the ship's captain, and I know you killed Cockney, but if you think that entitles you to any special favors...
But, senorita, how many men would you have me kill before I may win your favor?
What's killing got to do with love?
It is always that way in nature. The strongest male kills the weaker males, and then he becomes the one whom the female love.
Well, nature can take that sort of business and go jump in the lake with it.
You see, Manuel?
See what, Capitan?
Gracie doesn't agree that she belongs to you. Therefore, I don't have anything of yours.
So?
Yes, so. She'd better turn over Skip to me and be glad we don't nail your skin to a tree before we leave this island.
Oh, so you expect to leave this island?
Any minute now.
Well, I will tell you this, senor. Unless you turn over to me the senorita whom you have in your possession, your friend Skip Turner will never leave here alive. And I think that goes for you also, Captain Friday.
Look, Manuel, I'll make a deal with you.
Deal?
Yeah. Why didn't I think of it before? You want to get off this lonely, out-of-the-way island, don't you?
Oh, see. Naturally, I hope not to spend all my life here.
Okay. Come on and join us.
No, no.
How do you mean, join with you?
We were going to take Gracie out. We've got room for you, too.
You are speaking of the airship on the beach?
That's it. We had engine trouble, but we've got that fixed up. So bring along Skip and... we'll all four be away from here in a half hour.
Senor, but that is the most handsome offer I have had the pleasure of receiving in my whole life.
Can you accept?
No.
But Manuel...
No.
Doesn't make sense. Why not?
Why not? I am two-time killer. Confess with my own lips. Besides, this Gracie saw me kill the captain. And Gracie told me that you and this Skip person, who is my prisoner, saw me kill Cockney.
What of it?
Well, the minute you arrive in Australia, you tell the stories to the authorities. And what become of poor Manuel?
Oh, nonsense. Why should we
hang by the neck until he is dead? That is what happened to poor Manuel.
Gracie, talk to him. Tell him you'll keep your mouth shut.
But I will not.
See, the senorita is the truthful one.
You mean you wouldn't give Manuel a break, even to save your own honor? Perhaps your own life?
If you take Manuel back to Australia with us, I'll point him out as a murderer to the very first policeman.
You haven't got any more sense.
So you see, Captain Friday, the best thing for you to do is to give the senorita to me. When you have done this, I will return Skip Turner to you.
How does that appeal to you, Gracie?
You wouldn't do that to a poor girl. Turn her over to a dirty, killing sea pirate.
That's just what I ought to do.
Now you are talking sense. Give Gracie and you two fly away about your own business.
And what about after they fly away, Manuel?
And what about it, senorita?
That's something else you haven't thought about. Once they're away, what's to prevent them from reporting to the barbers that you're a killer and you're on this island?
See, that could happen.
And they can come back and get you at their leisure, because how can you possibly get off?
I see. They must not be allowed to leave.
Say, what is this anyway? Whose side are you on, Gracie?
They must not be allowed to leave. They must be killed, see? And their airplane burned.
Yes, Gracie? It's the parrot.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Here, Gracie.
There's somebody prowling up near my cave.
What's that?
Impossible, senorita.
Yes, there is. That's the signal the parrot always gives when somebody comes near. It's my warning.
But we three and Skip are the only ones on the island. Have you really got Skip there with you, Manuel?
See, I have him tied to a tree. Besides, he's unconscious.
Then there's somebody else on this island. Manuel, maybe you didn't kill Cockney after all.
Can a man walk about with the back of his head blown away?
Perhaps it's his ghost walking.
Senorita, do not say such a thing.
It's nice to be recognized. Ah, ah, 1, 2, 3, 4. Ah, ah, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's somebody. Somebody prowling around the mouth of my cave in the jungle.
There are supposed to be only 4 living persons and a parrot on Shipwreck Island. Then who is the 5th shadow prowling near Gracie's cave? The 3rd episode of The Girl on Shipwreck Island is entitled, There is More About Gracie Than Meets the Eye, and will come to you next week at the same hour. You are listening to another in the series of Adventures by Morse.
Adventures by Morse, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 7th of July, 1946, featuring the sought-after announcing voice of Gayne Whitman, who at the same time was also appearing on the program The Pacific Story, which was about a post-war United Nations in the Pacific. This is an hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Now time for the world's great novels and their adaptation of Robert Louis Stevenson's Kidnapped, episode 2 of 3, heard on NBC on May 7th, 1948.
Kidnapped, another of its series of books that live, the world's great novels.
After the murder of the cabin boy, I had to take his place in the ship's roundhouse and serve the three officers. I slept on the floor and ran at the call of three men I looked down on, and one of whom at least should have been hung upon a gallows. The future planned for me, moreover, by my wicked uncle and the captain he'd bribed to kidnap me, was to be sold as a slave in the Carolinas. When I thought of all my uncle had done to rob me of my inheritance, cold anger swept away my fear. One evening, the wind dropped. In a fallen swell, we ran into a fog. Men were posted about the decks. I asked Mr. Ryack what they were doing.
We're listening for breakers, lad.
Oh?
To give a wide berth to yon rocks.
I see.
She struck. We're on the rocks.
The rocks,
man.
The rocks.
Are we caught on the rocks, Captain?
No, not caught on the rocks. We but run down a rather small port.
How is she? Don't go in this fog.
I cut in half.
Man in the bows.
What's that? Look alive there.
A man's being brought aboard, sir. He leaped and grabbed our bowsprit.
Bring him to me.
Aye, sir. A French passenger, sir.
Well, sir, you wear a fine French coat for the likes of my ship.
You seem to be a gentleman of great penetration.
You've a French officer's coat upon your back and a Scotch tongue in your head.
Well, Captain, to be plain with you, I'm one of those honest gentlemen that were in trouble about the year 45.
Aye.
And if I got into the hands of any of the red-coated gentry who serve the man they call King George, it would go hard with me.
Aye, that I can believe.
Now, sir, I was for France, and there was a French ship cruising here to pick me up, but she gave my little boat to go by in the fog. But if you can set me ashore where I was going, I have that upon me will reward you highly for your trouble.
We don't know that they cannot do, but we might talk of taking you back to Scotland. We might talk.
I have here, sir, as you see, a belt about my body.
Aye?
It is a full belt.
Aye?
And it is full of coins like these.
Oh, guineas.
Aye, sir, golden guineas.
Half of it, and I'm your man.
Oh, at that, I must put the gold away again.
Oh.
You see, sir, it's my chieftain's gold, and while I would be but a silly messenger to grudge some of it that the rest might come safe, I should show myself a hound indeed if I bought my own carcass too dear.
But man,
30 guineas on the seaside, or 60 if you set me on the Linny Lock. Take it if you will. If not, you can do your worst.
Well, 60 guineas and done. And here is my hand on it.
Aye, and here's mine.
The ship had no accommodation for passengers, so the officers moved out of the roundhouse and gave it over to their paying guest. Here I had under my eyes a man whose life was forfeit on many counts. He was not only a rebel and a rent smuggler, but he'd taken service with the King of France, the enemy of King George. Now, I was loyal to King George, as good a Whig, as the Jacobites called us, as my friend Mr. Campbell had been able to make me. But I was 17. I could not look on such a man without a lively interest.
Here's your meat, sir.
Thanks, lad.
You're a Jacobite?
Aye. And you, by your long face, should be a Whig.
Oh, betwixt and between.
That means nothing. But I'm saying, Mr. Betwixt and Between, this bottle of yours is dry, and it's hard if I'm to pay 60 guineas and begrudge a dram of liquor on the back of it.
I'll go and ask for the key.
And so I stepped out on deck. I found the captain and two officers in the waist with their heads together. It struck me they were after no good, so I drew near very softly.
But see here, couldn't we trick the Jacobite out of the roundhouse?
No, Mr. Ryack. He's better where he is. He has no room to use his sword.
Aye, true, Captain, but he's hard to come at.
But
We can get the man in talk and pin him by the arms. Or we can make a run by both doors and get him underhand before he has the time to draw.
Sir?
Aye.
The gentleman seeks a dram, and the bottle's out.
Well, here's our chance to get the firearms from the roundhouse.
David?
Aye.
Do you ken where the pistols are?
Aye, David kens, of course. David's a good lad. Hey, you see, Davy, my man, yon wild Highland man is a danger to the ship, besides being a rank foe to King George, God bless him.
Aye, sir.
You see, the trouble is, we have no firelocks except those stored by my berth in the roundhouse. Now, if I or one of the officers was to go in and take them, he'd fall to thinking. But a boy like you, David, might snap up a powder horn and a pistol or two without remark. And if you can, I'll bear it in mind when it'll be good for you to have friends. And that's when we'll reach Carolina.
Captain?
Eh?
Don't you think you might suggest to him that you may?
You're very right, Mr. Ryak. See you, David. Yon man has a belt full of gold. And I give you my word, you shall have your fingers in it.
Very well, sir.
You're a good lad, David. Here's the key to the brandy locker. And mind that we'll be waiting for the pistols.
With that, I went slowly back to the roundhouse, pondering what to do. They were dogs and thieves and murderers. And was I to hold the candle to another murder? But then, on the other hand, there was the fear of death plain before me. I was still arguing it back and forth when I got back to the roundhouse.
Well, lad, have you got the key? I'm parched.
Here.
Then where's the locker? Come, get a move on.
I think they want to kill ye.
What's that?
Oh, they're all murderers here. They've murdered a boy already. No, it's you.
Aye?
They want me to get them some of them pistols there in the corner.
Aye, but they haven't got me yet. Will you stand with me, lad?
That I will. I'm no murderer. I'll stand by ye.
Aye, then. What's your name?
David Balfour, of Shaws.
Laird of Shaws. Well, my name is Stuart. Alan Breck, they call me.
Aye, Mr. Stuart.
Now, let's look to the defenses of this roundhouse. It is strongly built.
Aye.
We need not take note of these wee windows. No man could pass his body through.
Oh, but there's the skylight and the two doors. Only one's locked. I'll lock this one.
Well, now, David, I have but one face. So long as that one door is open and my face to it, the best part of my enemies will be in front of me.
Oh, yes. It must stay open.
Aye. Here now, take this cutlass. But get you down a powdered horn, a bag of bullets, and all the pistols to charge them.
Aye, that I'll do.
I'll face the door here with my own good sword. Aye, there's none too much space. And that's a pity, too. First of all, how many are against this lad?
15.
15? That can't be cured. Now, follow what I say. It is my part to keep this door where I look for the main battle.
There is the door behind you, which they may break in.
Aye, and that's part of your work. You must climb up into the bed by yon window. And if they lift hand against the door, you're to shoot. But that's not all. Now, what else have you to guard?
The skylight.
Good.
But, oh, indeed, Mr. Stuart, I would need eyes on both sides of my head to keep the two. For when my face is at one, my back is to the other.
And that's very true. But have you no ears?
To be sure. I must hear the burst in a glass.
You have some rudiments of sense. Now, charge the pistols.
Now our time of truce was come to an end. Those on deck had waited for my coming till they grew impatient. Look through the doorway, the captain!
Stand! This is a strange return for hospitality. A naked sword.
It has slashed the heads off more wigs than you have toes upon your feet. Call up your vermin to your back, sir, and fall on. The sooner the clash begins, the sooner you'll taste the steel through your vitals.
David, I'll mind this.
And now, let your hand keep your head, for the grip is coming. Clamber up into the berth with your pistols.
Aye.
Methinks they're getting out their cutlasses.
Aye. I'm ready.
Oh, come, you rascals!
There. You're fighting Shuan, him that killed the boy.
Look to your window.
Oh, aye. Men are coming with a spar. They're coming to break this door.
Here they're shooting.
Take that. I've hit one. Take that. And that.
Run, you dog. Run back, you dog.
Where are you? I can hardly see for the smoke. Oh, you've killed Mr. Shun.
Aye, and there's one of your Whigs for you. The others seem less anxious now. And you, lad, have you done much execution?
I winged one. I think it was the captain.
Good, and I've settled two. Oh, but there's not enough blood left. They'll be back again. Be your watch, David.
Can you hear what they're saying?
Was showing bungled it. Wish man, he paid the piper.
This is what we'll do.
I'm sure they're coming on again.
This is what I pray for. Unless we can give them a good distaste of us. They'll be in a sleep for us, lad. But this time, mind, they'll be in earnest.
I can hear them.
Aye.
Where are they?
The skylight!
On the door! They're coming in! Gotcha!
Back there!
Oh, where's my cutlass? Here, I'm coming!
Back, David, give me room! Room to charge them!
Here, you! Back!
Ah, you've routed them! Routed them all!
That's some man. Oh, David, I love you like a brother. And oh, man, I'm a no bonny fighter.
There was a flush in Alan's face, and his eyes were bright as he tumbled the four dead men through the roundhouse door. As for me, all of a sudden, and before I had a guess of what was coming, I began to cry like a child.
Oh, now, David, my man. There, you're a brave lad. Oh, dinna take on, lad. All you're needing is a wee bit of sleep. I'll take the first watch. You've done well by me, David. First and last. I would not lose you for all happen. Which is my name, I'd have you know.
I slept, and he roused me up, and I took my 3 hours. Alan found pleasure in the thought that he'd not only ousted the officers from their cabin, where we had the daintiest food and all the drink on the ship, but we had condemned 2 of the thirstiest men in Scotland to what they hated most, cold water.
And depend upon it, David, we shall hear more of them. You may keep a man from the fighting, but never from his bottle.
Aye.
Here, lad, reach me that knife, and I'll cut you off one of the silver buttons from this coat.
Oh.
I had them from my father, Duncan Stewart. And now, I give you one. It'll be a keepsake for last night's work. And wherever you go and show that button, friends of Alan Breck will come around you.
'Tis beautifully wrought.
Aye.
I shall keep this as a talisman for when I have need.
Aye, lad, do that.
Poor there, Mr. Stewart. I will have words with you.
You answer him from the roof. Here, take your pistol.
Aye.
Oh, you down there. Speak out, and take heed that I'm armed.
Aye. The captain wants word with your friend. They might converse at the window.
How do we know what treachery he means?
He means none, David. And if he did, 'tis honest truth. We could not get the men to follow.
Tell him the captain can come to the window on parole of his words of honor.
Oh, aye.
Mr. Stewart will speak to the captain if he gives his parole.
Aye. Oh, one thing more. You'll agree I showed you some kindness when you first came aboard, so...
Aye?
I ask you now if you could not hand me out a dram of liquor. You see...
Yes, you can have a dram.
Here's a pannikin.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Here, Mr. Ryack, if you'll reach up...
Bless you, boy. I'll no forget you for this kindness.
Aye, we need no thanks. Just send the captain.
Aye.
What will you say to him, Alan?
I'll make him take me where I am to go. And you too, of course. No more of this talk of selling you as a slave in America.
Ah,
I think he's coming now.
Mr. Stewart.
This pistol is loaded.
No, no, no. Put that thing up. Have I not passed my word, sir?
Captain, last night you haggled and argled-bargled like an apple wife, and then passed me your word, and gave me your hand to back it. And you ken very well what was the upshot. Be damned to your word.
Well, sir, you'll get little good for swearing. You've made a sore hash of my ship. I have no hands enough to work it. There's nothing left me, sir, but to put back into Glasgow after new hands.
No. You'll have to set me ashore where we agreed.
But my first officer is dead, and there's none of the rest of us acquaint with this coast, sir. And it's one very dangerous to ships.
I give you your choice. Set me on dry ground in Appin, or within 30 miles of it, except in the country of the Whig-loving Campbells. Aye, that's a broad target.
All this will cost money, sir.
30 guineas if you land me on the seaside, and 60 if you put me in the Linny Lock.
It's to risk the ship, sir, and your own lives along with her.
Take it or want it.
Could you pilot us at all?
Well, I'm more of a fighting man than a sailor man. But I've often been picked up and set down on this coast. I am should ken something of it.
Well, be it as you will. As soon as I get a slant of wind, I'll put it in hand.
And now, as I hear you have one great luck, I'll offer you an exchange. A bottle of brandy against 2 buckets of water. Oh, Davy, if this breeze holds, I'll be showing you up in no time.
Aye. Oh, it'll be good to see Mr. Campbell again.
Did you say Campbell?
Oh, he's my friend.
I hate every man who bears that name.
Why, Alan, he's a man you should be proud to give your hand to.
I know nothing I'd help a Campbell to, unless it was a bullet. If I lay dying, I'd crawl on my knees to my chamber window for a shot at one.
What ails you at the Campbells?
Well, you ken very well that I'm an up and steward. And the Campbells have long harried and wasted those of my name. Aye, and got lands of us by treachery.
You that are so wasteful of your buttons, I can hardly think you'd be a good judge of business.
I got my wastefulness from the same man I got the buttons. My poor father, Duncan Stewart. He left me my breeks to cover me and little besides. Aye, and that was how I come to enlist.
What? Were you in the English army?
That was I. But I deserted to the right side at the Battle of Preston Pans. And that's some comfort.
But good heavens, man. You that are a condemned rebel and a deserter and a man of the French kings, what's tempted you back? It's a brave and a providence.
Oh, tut. I've been back every year since 46.
And what brings you, man?
The business of my chief, Ardshiel. You see, David, Ardshiel that's come of the blood and bearing the name of kings is now brought down to live in France like a poor person. He that had 400 swords at his whistle, I have seen buy and butter in the marketplace and taken it home in a cabbage leaf. This is a disgrace to us of his family and clan. Now, the tenants of Appin have to pay a rent to King George, but they're true to their chief. And what with love and a bit of pressure and maybe a threat or two, the poor folk scrape up a second rent for Ardshiel. Well, David, I'm the hand that carries it, here in this belt about me middle.
Do the poor folk pay both?
Aye, David. I told a different tale to yon captain man, but this is the truth of it.
I call it noble. I'm a Whig or a little better, but I call it noble.
Well, you're a Whig, but you're a gentleman, and that's what does it. Now, if you were one of the cursed race of Campbell, you'd gnash your teeth to hear tell of it. If you were the Red Fox.
And who's the Red Fox?
Who is he? When the men of the clans were broken at Culloden, and the good cause went down, and the horses rode over their fetlocks in the best blood of the north, Ardshiel had to flee like a poor deer upon the mountains. He and his lady and his bairns. The English rogues stripped him of his powers. They stripped him of his lands. They plucked the weapons from the clansmen, aye, that had borne arms for 30 centuries. And now, in there steps a man, a Campbell, red-headed Colin of Glenure, the Red Fox. In he steps and gets papers from King George to be the king's agent on the lands of Appin. And at first, he sings small. But by and by, it came to his ears how the poor farmers and crofters were wringing the very plaids to get a second rent for Ardshield. Well, and the Red Fox heard it. The black Campbell blood in him ran wild. He sat gnashing his teeth at the wine table. What? Should a steward get a bite of bread and him not be able to prevent it? Red Fox, if I ever hold you at a gun's end, the laird have pity on you. There grows not enough heather in all Scotland to hide you from my vengeance.
Man, Alan, ye are neither very wise nor very Christian to blow off so many words of anger. They'll do the Red Fox no harm and yourself no good.
Oh, barring that about Christianity, I'm much of your mind. But this is what the Red Fox did.
Aye, come to that.
Ardshiel was to starve. Aye, that was the thing. But them that fed him would not be bought out. So the Red Fox sent for lawyers and papers and redcoats. And the kindly folk of that country must all pack and tramp. Aye, every father's son out of his father's house, where he was bred and fed and played when he was a child. What cares Red Fox? If he can pluck the meat from a chieftain's table, aye, and the bit toys out of the children's hands, he will gang him singing.
It's not this Campbell's fault, man. It's his orders. And if you killed him tomorrow, there'd be another agent in his shoes as fast as spurs can drive.
You're a good lad in a fight, but man, you have Whig blood in you.
Master Storch! Master Storch! Come and see if you can tire it!
Is this one of your tricks?
Do I sound like tricks? Man, my arm is useless. My ship's in danger.
I'm coming, Captain. Well, come along, David.
Come here, Alan.
There you both come. Good. There. That fountain of spray in the moonlight.
What do you call that?
Well, the sea breaking on a reef, Captain. And now you ken where the reef is. What better could you have?
Hey, if it was the only one. There. Another one. If I'd counted these reefs, if I'd had a chart, or if Shewan had been spared, it's not 60 guineas, no, nor a 600, would have made me rest my ship in such a stone yard.
I'm thinking, Captain, these will be what they call the Torren rocks.
Are there many of them?
I'm no pilot, but it sticks in my mind there are, 10 miles of them.
Oh, there's a way through them, I suppose.
No, it somehow runs in my mind that it's clearer under the land.
We'll have to haul our wind then, Mr. Ryak. It falls to you to go aloft. Let us know how it looks by the foretop. I cannot send these wounded men. I'll help them keep hold on the tiller.
Aye, aye, sir.
We'll try your way of it, sir. In by the land. But I think I might as well trust to a blind fiddler. Pray God you're right.
Pray God I am, Davy. But where did I hear it?
What
can it, David? This is not the kind of death I fancy.
What, Alan? You're not afraid.
Well, no, but you'll allow yourself. It's a cold ending.
You were right, Mr. Stewart. You've saved the ship.
Keep her away, boys. Please, away.
Hurry, let's go. On the rocks, on the rocks.
Launch the ship. Look alive there.
This way, man.
Well, hurry.
Look out.
Let me help.
I am me.
Do you know this shore, Ellen? What country is it?
What's possible for me, David? Campbell country.
Can you swim at all?
Mary, a stroke, man. Can you?
Not I.
For the love of God, hold on! The ship's turning over!
I went down and down and drank my fill. I came up, got a blink of the moon, and went down again. My body felt as it was burst. I came up remembering that a man sinks a third time for good, and down once more.
Yet I came up, wondering why I was not like other men. Then down again, and up, and down, and up. And all the while I was being hurled along and beaten and choked and swallowed whole. And the thing so scattered my wits that I was neither sorry nor afraid. I found myself holding a wooden spar. A spar, it helped. Then, all at once, I was in quiet water. I now lay across the spar, becalmed, and began to feel that a man could die of cold as well as drowning. The shores of a distant island mocked me. Some instinct of self-preservation caused me to kick with my feet, still hugging the spar. I was moving. It was mortally slow work. In about an hour, I'd got well in between the points of a sandy bay. In my heart, I thought I'd never seen a place so desolate. But it was dry land. I was incredibly tired, and my kicks were now little more than a waving of my legs. Then, my foot touched bottom. I was wading, wading, alone on a strange coast with the ship wrecked and Alan maybe dead behind me, but I was wading ashore, grateful to God, as I trust I've often been, but never with more cause.
Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson is one of the world's great novels brought to you each week by the NBC University of the Air.
The World's Great Novels on Tuned to Yesterday from the 7th of May 1948 on NBC. And that wraps it up for this hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next week at the same time as we conclude these two great tales. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.